Thank you for downloading the latest podcast from the Center for European Studies at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Anka Gurzu. For terms of use, please visit our website at www.carleton.ca/CES.
Hello, my name is Tony Pennicott. I am an advisor to the Arctic Security Program of the Walter and Duncan Gordon Foundation in Toronto.
How would you assess the governance of Canada's Arctic today, and how has that changed over the last years?
Well, I think there are great uncertainties around governance questions, particularly around the environment and other issues, but the governance has changed remarkably in the last 40 years. When I was a young man in the Yukon, all decisions about everything were made in Ottawa, and now power has very much shifted northwards as a result of land claim settlements and devolution of programs, and now the territorial governments and the First Nations and the Inuit are much more in control.
To follow up on that, I would like to touch on the Arctic Council, where Indigenous populations from the different Arctic countries cannot vote but have a voice. How do you think potentially new observers like the European Union or China would impact this?
First of all, the admission in 96-97 of Indigenous groups, the permanent participants, into the Arctic Council was absolutely an innovation in international bodies. It is true they have voice but not vote, but they have privileged access to all the consultations and all the discussions. Some of the groups, particularly the Inuit, I think are really concerned that the admission of China and India and Brazil and other great powers as observers might dilute the impact of their voice, might weaken their voice. And some of them would prefer that the Arctic Council remain a northern body. But other people argue that if you don't let China into the tent, then it will go elsewhere to make its views known about Arctic shipping and Arctic resources and Arctic environmental questions, and that would have the effect of weakening the Arctic Council. So it's an unresolved debate, I think.
Any future projects that would be developed in the Arctic, some observers say it could have strong environmental impact, but it could also threaten the ways of life of the Indigenous population. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. The Nunavummiut are trying very hard to get the same kind of rights to control resource developments and to manage resource lands as the people in the Canadian provinces have. Why? Because the potential is that major projects will force them to deal with the social and environmental impacts, and without the kind of control that provinces have, they won't have the revenue or the laws or the tools to manage those developments in a way that will protect them from the negative impacts. Nor will it give them an opportunity to benefit from the revenues and the royalties and other benefits that flow to landowners and provinces nowadays.
What do you think are the most important elements that governments, territories, companies should keep in mind as they try to come up with the best model of governance for the Arctic?
I think the basic point is when I was a young person, northern people had no voice. They now have some voice. I think that everybody needs to understand, though, that you cannot make decisions without involving northern peoples. And if you do so, you're likely to make bad decisions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anka.